Praise Yahweh, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. We're joining you live, and what an appropriate song for this day, especially for the people down in the Gulf. You know, it's real sad that we have greedy people. You know, they come out with their advertisement. What hurts me so much about what's going on with the wicked, that they hire publicists to turn public opinion toward them other than against them when they advertise that they're going to clean up everything. And you can believe that in a million years, ladies and gentlemen. We have got one of the, it is the biggest catastrophic happening in our lifetime, in our history. Well, we don't know of anything. I don't. Do you? Well, don't worry about it, Pastor Buddy. We're going to be raptured out. When things get so bad, we'll just stick our head in the tire, and then Yahweh will come, and he'll deliver us and catch us up, and we'll run off to heaven. We'll just escape this old bad earth. You know, sad. It's sad that we go from one extreme of deception to the other. All the history of the Bible never indicates that the righteous are going to be taken off the planet and whipped up into space and set up there and watch the wicked fry and sizzle. And that'd be nice if you could do that. I would really like that. But ladies and gentlemen, it's the righteous that suffer. It is the righteous that the devil is angry at. It is the righteous that are going to have to overcome. It's not the wicked. The wicked is the one that's inflicted the pain. And as the old saying goes, no pain, no gain. Well, we've got plenty of pain. And no doubt, if we can hold on, we'll have plenty of gain. I really believe that there's a reward for the righteous and those that hold on in the last days. Study a little bit on the subject of the rapture. If you're the one, you know, we don't want to offend you, but, you know, if you want to go somewhere and, you know, leave the planet, that's, you know, it's okay with me. I'd be all for it. If you wanted to get away, and you could, and you had transportation, I don't know who's going to take you, because instead of going or coming and going, he's coming and staying. He's not going back to where he came. We know that the devil is not going back where he came. He come to stay. He will finish out his course right here. Now, if you think that you're going to get out of here and you're going to get caught up, let me show you what the Bible says is going to happen here in the book of Daniel, just a little bit. Let's study a little bit in the Daniel, and we'll get into the actual. I'm going to give you the scriptures that cause people to think that they're going to rise up in the air and meet him and then go drifting. You know, they got these dreams and visions of, you know, they're going to float out into the happy land. When the Bible says itself that the New Jerusalem, or the city that they describe in heaven as in heaven, and the bride and things, we're going to study extensively on these things and tell you that the thousand-year reign is already going on, that throws people, that the bride's already been taken off the earth. She's done been raptured out, folks. You're behind. I can prove it. And yet, that makes you indifferent because you want to be raptured out. You think you're part of the bride. You have nothing to do with the bride. Not one thing. And that's the whole crux that people are hobbling around on, that they think they're the bride and that he's going to come back and get his bride. And that ain't going to happen. That's already happened. And if you just take your time and study with Pastor Buddy, and accept the scriptures as they speak for themselves without having some woman over in Scotland, she had had went into one of these trance visions or whatever what she had, and she talked about a rapture, and that word getting caught out or caught up, and we'll get into that. Let me read you a few scriptures that's located in the book of Daniel, chapter 12. And at that time, and he shall plant the tabernacles of his palace between the seas of the glorious holy mountains, yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Now, right here we are in end time, folks. This is a biblical end time scenario. Here is the devil. He shall enter into the glorious land. And that ain't no big secret. We're going to get into Thessalonians, where everybody gets the rapture scriptures caught up in the air. And Satan is going to come back, and he's going to set up his kingdom. He's going to practice and prosper and deceive even the very elect. He's going to have it built. Glorious. This is going to be, you talk about energy and the time, you know, when he solves the world's problems, he's going to be a savior. What do saviors do? They rescue you. Well, just make sure that it's a rescue of the most noblest kind. And if you do, you just might figure this plot out. See, the Bible says that Satan would deceive the very elect if it's possible. Now, what's possible about the deception that Satan uses? What kind of powers he got? All deceiving, lying wonders. Now, I'm going to repeat that just for you people that really believe the Word of God. With all deceivableness, miracles and signs and lying wonders. And he shall plant the tabernacle of his palace. The tabernacle of his palace. Nobody ever talks about this. Am I the only preacher on the radio that's telling you the truth, that Satan, it's going to come back in disguise with a fake rapture landing? Yeah, if you want to go out with him, I'm sure he's got a place for you. They'd like to get rid of a lot of people. I'm not sure that they can get rid of that many, but then you don't put anything past them. He's gonna build his tabernacle between the seas and the glorious holy mountains. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall help him. Now remember that. Now that could be a period of 100, 200 years that he's building and planning his tabernacle. He's going to be a king, and the Bible said he will not regard the God of his fathers nor the desire of women. Another one of them, I guess. Nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. This is in the 11th chapter of Daniel, verse 37. Is anybody preaching that instead of getting ready for a rapture, you better be getting ready for a capture? And I don't have anything. I wish I could get out. I wish I could escape this earth if I remain. The Bible said the righteous are taken. Pray that you get out of here, because it's going to be carnage. It's going to be a time of Jacob's trouble, such as the world has never seen. He's going to speak glorious things against Yahweh. He will prosper till the indignation be accomplished, for that this is the determined, predetermined. This is a pre-trib thing. I'm telling you. You better get ready for the big guy. Now, this marvelous guy, he's got his bag full of tricks. He's better than Santa Claus. He's going to have you eating out of his hand, singing his song. He's going to cure ills and illnesses, and death is going to flee from people. He's just going to do so many miracles and signs and wonders. He shall honor the God of forces, and a God who his fathers knew not, he shall glorify. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that he's glorified a strange God among you already, and you don't realize that scripture right there? Yahweh's been cast to the side into the junk heap. They've denied his name. They've ignored his name. You tell Christians today about the name of Yahweh. Oh, churches are beginning to see it some now. I'm so thankful. But you'll never see them take the congregation out and rebaptize them from Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, or Jesus' name, into the name of Yahweh for the remission of sins. That's part of the problem. Oh, yeah, they can acknowledge now the true name. In the last days, his name is going to be made known by people like myself and others who are witnesses and are teaching this name. You just go on the internet. It's there. History, it's repeat. It's in its fullness. In the last day, you don't have an excuse. Thus shall he do in the most strongholds with a strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory. And he shall cause them to rule over many, and shall divide the land for gain. And at that the time of the end, we're going to start having some problems. Everything's going to be hunky-dory. He shall enter into the glorious land and many countries. He will overthrow them. He will stretch forth his hand upon the countries. Egypt shall not escape. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver. Now, I want to ask you a question here. This is verse 43 of Daniel chapter 11. He shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver. Now, remember the scripture where it said, they shall cast their gold and silver in the street. Did you know that there is a elite Illuminati faction on earth that already has one half of that gold gathered up for this great Messiah, this false Messiah? He's going to sit in a glorious temple, according to 11:45. He will plant his build. It'll be built for him. And it's going to be elaborate, ladies and gentlemen. His tabernacle, that's a worship center. That's a temple. And Paul even goes far enough to say, this guy is going to sit in the temple of God. It is the God that people have been led to worship. It is not the true God, Yahweh. It's a false God, if I may use the term God, and I reluctantly have to use it to try to explain, because you get out into the other words that people don't understand, what in the world you're talking about. And so then, he's going to implant his palace, his tabernacle. The word is tabernacle, 168, Strong's 168, which means a worship center. It's on the holy mountain. Yet he shall come to his end, and none shall hit him. That's the climax of that. But that's going to be at the last trump. Now, did you know, instead of a rapture, when Christ literally comes, he's going to transform, we're going to get into that, he's going to transform the believers, the ones that suffered, the ones that's been killed and hated and despised, and everyone from Abel, the blood of Abel, which was the first blood of the progeny of the sons of Yah, was shed, and many and much of it has been shed since then, and much more to go. This is nothing but a killing field for the righteous. This is where the righteous, instead of being caught up and escaping all the tribulation, go right through it. These are those who endure to the end. These are they that are hardened. But don't trust in the material things to gain you favor with Yahweh. Pray, fast, seek him while he can be found, call on him while he's near. And then he said, I will hide you in the shadow of my hand. before you call, I will answer. You will look to your left and you can chase 1,000. To the right, 10,000. Now, I don't know how that's going to work, but the Bible says he's going to come to his end and none's going to help him. And at that time, Michael, and at that time, verse 1, setting it up for the rapture, I'll be on it tomorrow night on part 2, Yahweh willing. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which stands for the children of the people. The children of the people. Who's that? That ain't his bride. That's the children of the bride. Ladies and gentlemen, if you ever put the cart before the horse and let these Christian churches give you the rapture theory, they get the cart before the horse. They're so screwed up in their mind, they're out of sync or synchronicity with the scriptures. They don't understand. They're beginners. I'm telling you, when you pray and get into the real truth, they'll think you're so far off base that they won't hear you, though you declare it unto them and prove it to them. That he's not coming back after a bride. Nowhere in the scriptures does he say he's going to return again after he's already returned for one. Now, let me give you an example here. When Christ, he was prophesied throughout the Old Testament as the bridegroom. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Well, if he come, has he ever come? Well, no, he's coming back to get his bride. Well, if he don't have any bride, how's he going to get children? And if he don't have children, where's his children at? Listen to this now. This is in John chapter 3. And John answered, a man can receive nothing except that it be given to him from heaven. Verse 27. John 3:27. Yet you yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the anointed powerful one, the Messiah, but that I am sent before him. Here it is, verse 29. Mark it in your Bible. Go to your Bible. Please do me a favor. John chapter 3, verse 27 through 30. That's what I want you to read. Particularly pay attention to verse 29. Now this is John, standing on earth in a flesh body, baptizing him, to whom the Spirit lit upon. And this is the voice, this is my beloved Son, in whom, not of whom. See, they try to adopt the Son into the Godhead, when he was the Godhead, adopting himself out to his people. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. He that has the bride. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is the first coming of the Messiah and John. They're setting up the kingdom. They're getting it ready. He's going to take him a bride out of the earth and take her into heaven. It's already happened. He's not coming back to get a bride. He's done got her. She's gone. She's in heaven. I can read her in heaven in the 18th and the 19th chapter of the book of Revelations where we found her. She rejoiced. The bride, the friend of the bridegroom. Now here, John is the friend of the bridegroom, which is come to earth for a bride. Now, if he didn't get her in the first resurrection, pray tell me, why would he want her in the second? When this is supposed to be the end of the world. If he's going to get her in the next resurrection, which will be the second resurrection, we've already had one. People forget. They only concentrate and they've got locked brain. Something has locked their brain outside the reality of truth, and they can't get back in the truth door. How can some man guide me. The keys to the kingdom is yours right now. I'm offering you the keys to the understanding of the bride and the bridegroom, which is coming back not for a bridegroom or a bride. He's coming back not as a bridegroom, but as a father. And he's coming back for the children of the bride. Now, he got the children in the first resurrection. The Bible said in Matthew chapter 27, it is recorded here in Matthew that he got him a bride out of the first resurrection. Now, in chapter 24 of the book of Matthew, he says that where the carcass is, the eagles are going to be gathered together. It's talking about the end of the world. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon, bad moon rising, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall the tribes of the earth mourn. They're not going to go up and meet him. They're going to flee. The wicked are going to flee. Of course, the righteous who have prayed for his coming, who long for his coming, who have been killed, executed, given to the sword, wore out. The Bible said he shall wear out the saints, wear out the saints. And the saints is sitting down here in these pews, got it real nice and pleasant and cool, and they're picking their nose at the truth, rejecting the gospel of truth, of hardness and endurance and tribulation, and oh no, we're going to be raptured out, Pastor Buddy, and we're going to go up into heaven, and we're going to sit up there till all this crap is passed, then we're going to slip back down here, and we're going to have a... You know, some of these Christians, I wouldn't want to go with them, no way. I mean, they're weak-wristed, these little pastors. They sat around so long and sucked on the people's lollipops. The Bible said that they will have itching ears. They want to know what you believe. And when the rapture doctrine came out, boy, they jumped all over it because it sounded so good. Oh, you mean that I don't have to go through nothing? Oh, no. You're going to be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, and you're going to be caught up in a rapture. Get ready. The more trouble that is coming, the more they preach the rapture. You ever notice that? Every time you turn on the radio, the preachers are saying, we're going to be raptured out. Was that what happened in the days of Noah? I mean, when it got to raining, like it had never rained in none of their lifetimes. They'd never even seen rain. They didn't know how devastating water could be. And the three elements, I've always taught this, combined with the four sacred elements, which is the air and the water and the fire and the spirit. Fire and air are two of the greatest mysteries, and these are the things that Yahweh's going to use to destroy the earth, water first and fire second. Now, it literally happened. And guess what? The righteous went through it. They endured. Now, what about the wicked? Oh, they were raptured out. I forgot to tell you that. You see, it's just opposite of this rapture doctrine that they got down so bad and make it sound so good, and they quote Paul out of context mostly. The word rapture is not even in the Bible, but give them credit. It does say catching up. There will be caught up. I'm caught up with him right now. I'm not waiting for a physical catch up. I'm waiting and enduring and going through a spiritual catch-up. There will be caught up to together with Yahweh. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean bodily? Or say, yeah, we're going to be changed. In other words, your old carnal mind and the way you used to think, and you're going to start looking for Lulu, and she's over there in the unbelieving crowd. You're going to go over and dig her out from under the flood and the fire or whatever, and you're going to clean her up and bring her back and say, Yahweh, would you save her? You know what Yahweh's going to tell you? Don't meddle in things that you're not supposed to meddle in. I come to kill. I come to destroy. You better get that in your mentality, your spiritual mentality. You better believe that he's coming back in flame and fire. He's not coming back to gather up a few people to ride them off into the heavens. When Yahweh comes back, he's got a mission. Kill and destroy. Search out the enemy. The Bible says that this devil who will come to an end. Is that what it says? Yeah. That's exactly what it says here in the book of Daniel. And it is forever settled that at the time of the end, Michael shall stand up for the great prince, the Holy One, which stands for the children of the people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was a nation, even to the time of the end, and at the time, and at that time, at that time, at that time, shall your people deliver every one that is found written in the book, and many that sleep in the dust. That's the resurrection. He's coming back again for his children. That's the one that sleep in the dust. That's the worthy ones. That's the one that endured the tribulation after a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time, and at that time your people shall be delivered. That's the ones with their names on the Lamb's book. Now, you can't get that down at the church. They don't offer that service. They say they do, but they don't. They don't have the power to put your name on the Lamb's book. I don't care how much they slap you on the back. I don't care how much you say it's there. I don't care how much they say it's there. I don't care how much that they persuade you that you're saved. They could really, and I hope this is not the case, because everyone that's got his name on the Lamb's book, it's nothing to do with man or preacher or anyone else. That was a spiritual work done before the foundation of the world. At that time, many that sleep in the dust shall awake to everlasting life, and some to shame. Now, there you go. You got a resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. You ain't going to escape this, ladies and gentlemen. I don't care where you're raptured. Go over there. Go over here. And you say, oh, I just hope I get raptured out. Don't have to go through this. I hope you have to go right through the middle of it. I said in my message Wednesday night that America deserves what it's fixing to get. America deserves the punishment that it's due it. We have been cold, separated, indifferent, won't stand for nothing and fall for anything. We got the most lukewarm church age that I've ever read in the history of. It pales in comparison to what it was in the Sodom and Gomorrah. Our time is 10 times worse than it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and yet Yahweh is still giving mercy. The time of Noah, when they were destroyed for unbelief. We got people listening to these preachers, these pretty faces. Oh, they like to, you know, if they get up in the big time, like John Hagee writes 5 or 10 books and has a big worldwide television following, and he preaches enough false doctrine, just enough truth now, they're very skilled at this. I mean, it's awful how talented they are. They're chosen to make themselves or transform themselves according to the book of Corinthians, that they'll transform themselves into angels, and these presumptuous, self-willed, not afraid to speak evil of dignities, natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness. They should be getting you ready for it, to endure, to go through the hard times. Get your mind off of rapture. You think the people in World War II would have loved to seen a rapture? You think the Germans, 40 million of them, that were being bombed unmercifully by the same people you call saviors, that redeemed Germany? It is ridiculous how much death and bloodshed at the hands of what we call the righteousness of Christ. These wars were fought for the people that are gathering up all the silver and gold, and it's mentioned again in Daniel that these people will have the silver and gold. They shall have power over the treasures of gold and silver. This is the 43rd verse of Daniel 11. They shall have power over the treasures. Now, I want to ask you a question. Who's got the power right now? Who's exercising that power? Who's got the power over the treasures of gold and silver? Do you think we have it in foreign ops? You say, oh, the American people. The American people don't own one coin that you think's in Fort Knox, Kentucky. There's none there. It's already gone. It's already stolen by the thieves that we let run the chicken house. They eat chicken every night, or sheep, or mutton, at the expense of the dumb sheep. We've turned the fox loose in the hen house, and we are reaping a whirlwind, and they're reaping all of your silver and gold. They have the power over the treasures and over the precious things. And he will build his glorious tabernacle between the seas of the glorious holy mountain. That may not be where you think to. Could be somewhere else. I know the religious people have a mind that place over there is holy, that we're fighting over right now. You're going to see how holy it is right just in a few days. You're going to see how really holy it is. There's a bad moon rising, ladies and gentlemen. You better get ready for it. It ain't going to be a rapture. It's going to be one of the greatest deceptions that had ever been perpetrated upon the sheep. It'll be the last and the final deception before the coming. Here it's purposed in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Now, I want to ask you a question. Is he going to come as a glory of a bridegroom? Is he going to come as a glory of a soldier? No. Although he's going to be both. But that's not going to be his glory. You know what his vestige, you know what his glory is? His name is going to be revealed. It's going to be written on his thigh. And it ain't going to be the name that you think. Because the glorious one that is coming to glorify another God, one that you can't read about. You have to be very fortunate. And if you people out there that know Yahweh's name and you learned it and you learned the whole truth, you ought to be the most happiest people on the earth tonight. Although you don't have anything, if you've got Yahweh, you've got everything. If you've got this truth, the Bible said that he will deceive the very elect. You better pray yourself worthy to escape the deception and the deceit that the devil is going to bring to this earth in the personage of the greatest, most beautiful, powerful king that has ever come here. You talk about deception. Yeah, you could probably see his wounds. I mean, you know, he's a counterfeiter. Oh, yeah, they may tattoo a few wounds on him to prove his existence here. We know he's going to have power. We know that the beast and the false prophet's going to give power to him. When you see, thou oughtest therefore to cast that unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Don't sound like a happy day to me. This rapture is about the final battle. He's not coming to rapture the righteous away. He's coming to let the righteous view the victory. You're going to ride with him. You're going to be caught up with him in the ships as they go across the earth hunting out the wicked, the evil, the deceitful, the kings of the earth. They're going to hide in the dens. They're already going in there, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. They know something's close. It's a bad moon rising. That's what it is. And the Son of Man is going to come in His glory with all His holy angels. Every woman that resides with Him right now. They're going to mount up on the chariots that is mentioned in Psalm 68. And they're going to get on board. You say, "Oh God, don't have to ride. We're going to sit on clouds. We're going to go floating around on the cloud." These, ladies and gentlemen, are figures of speech, idioms that express the best way that they can tell you, just like they picked up Elijah, the translator, the one that didn't see death, the one that picked up Enoch, where he was transformed over into this kingdom that we're going to be transformed. It's already working because he tried it out on Enoch. He tried it out on Elijah. It worked both times. And both times, they were caught up. Caught up in a what? This time, they're not going anywhere. This time, they're coming. Those that sleep will not prevent them. Those that remain will not prevent them that sleep. For Yahweh will bring them with Him. Now, let me repeat that. Those that sleep, or those that remain, will not prevent those from coming back that you think are asleep. Did you know in Yahweh there's no such thing as death? That at the instant that you die, you transfigure. You ain't going to the grave to lay over there, and the graves that busting open is the time when you die. That's your resurrection. It's your individual resurrection. Now those that remain that haven't had a resurrection shall be changed in a moment, of a twinkling of an eye. That's how fast it's going to be. And then, when Yahweh returns to establish the kingdom on earth, then He's coming back after the millennial, after the thousand-year reign, after the bride and the bridegroom have a relationship in heaven, and then it manifests as sons and daughters on the earth. If you are a true blue son and a daughter, and straight is the way, and narrow is the gate, and a few there be that find it. If you are, you can count yourself most fortunate. Don't deny Him. Stand up. Ride with Him. Do the work of an evangelist right now. Witness for Him. Stand up in the devil's whiskers and tell him what he is. The Bible said resist him. Still that we hunker down and we're even afraid of the government, let alone the devil. And the government, you think the government's wicked? You ain't seen nothing wicked yet. If you want the epitome of wickedness and death and carnage, stealing and destroying, then you watch this beautiful. You say, how could anybody so beautiful and so wonderful and so knowledgeable? Who's going to believe you, Pastor Buddy? you really look at the scrutiny. I'm not talking about now. You can take a few scriptures, and these prophets are pretty good at enlarging them and making them stand out and saying things that they don't really say, but they can give you that encouragement to believe that, because with all your heart you want to. If you want to be hypnotized and put in a rapture trance, you can be. If you go and look, as Yahweh is coming back to set up his kingdom, you say, well, buddy, wait a minute. What did he set up on the day of Pentecost? That's what he set up, a kingdom. On the day of Pentecost, when he and his bride travailed. And what happened when they travailed? The Bible says they brought forth sons and daughters. What happened on the day of Pentecost? Was he getting himself a bride? Or was he getting himself some children? See, that's who he's coming back for. Otherwise, he wouldn't be back here to this snake hole. This is really all it is. But just because Satan wanted to come down here and hide and finish his job, which is to kill, steal, and destroy, and he's going to do it marvelously, and he's going to practice and prosper, even casting the truth to the ground. Well, he's done that. The truth today goes over like a lead balloon, but I'm telling you, if I was a preacher full of deception and I wanted to deceive a lot of people or make a good living at what I'm doing, because I certainly don't make a good living at it, but I'm not in it for money. I don't want any money. Yahweh promised me enough when I surrendered to go full time. And believe you me, he's never given me any more than I needed or any less than what it took to do what I've done. And I haven't done much. But what he gave me, I put it to the money changers. I just mailed a check in today to the radio station so that I could share my experiences about the falsehoods of the rapture. It's not that I'm against you wanting to be transformed or caught up. I hope and trust that you are transformed and caught up. But when it said forever to be with Yahweh, what do you want to be with him out in space for? What do you want to run from this planet for? Is it something in you don't like? Is it something here you fear? Isn't this where the righteous are supposed to inherit? Isn't all the examples of the past, including Noah's flood day, wasn't it the righteous that endured that and brought a seed back to the earth? Wasn't it that way in Sodom and Gomorrah? Didn't Yahweh deliver just Lot and destroy the wicked? Right now they're laying at the bottom of the Dead Sea. Perished. And we've got people today, do you remember that scripture I've read there where they said he would not regard or desire women? Does that tell you exactly what he's all about? He's going to be so struck on himself that a woman can't match the charisma of the way he feels in his heart about himself, and therefore the Bible said he's given up to a reprobated mind, even losing the natural use of his body. And that's what the Bible indicates here. And I don't want to get into it, because I can cross the line here and say things I'm not supposed to say. Not because if the Bible condemns it for sin, but man has put a limit on what I can say on radio because they don't want anybody to speak out against their lewdness and their evil and their sin. And so therefore, if they kill the messenger, or if they bridle the mouth of the messenger, and the Bible says you shouldn't bridle the mouth of the ox that treads out the corn. The ox should get his share as he goes through the cornfield. But the devil has conveniently put a muzzle on the prophets of Yahweh and the witnesses of Yahweh, where you can't say anything unless it's a lie. But it sounds good. And just like something racial, the Bible said kind after its own kind. But now, if you say something that is racial or anti-Semitic, you're pinned right there by the power of Satan to set these laws up, and knowing that that people, I mean, they're embarrassed to say, oh, no, I'm not a racist. No. I don't have nothing against the blacks and whites going together. I don't have nothing against yellows and browns going together. I don't have nothing against browns coming in here and spending all of my father's inheritance. I don't mind that. See, we're crippled. We're shackled. We can't say anything in opposition to these things that are going on. Satan is wonderfully and powerfully casting the truth to the ground. And he's prospering. Now, when he prospers, his people prosper. Well, just so happens that that silver and gold power thing was given to his people, the seed of Cain. Well, it just so happens that one family on the earth right tonight owned 50% of the gold and the silver that the Bible mentioned here in the book of the 11th chapter of the book of Daniel. Should that tell you something? And yet, 90% of the preachers of the world would say that he's a special chosen child of God. God's holy people. That's what they'd say. He owns 50% of the world's wealth, and the blood that's been shed, I just hope and trust that before you get out of this this wretched body that you're in, if you don't know the truth, you are wretched. But I hope that Yahweh would open your eyes up, that you could see what's gone on the last 200 years since we've been a nation. I wish you could see the aprons that's been folded up with your neck in it and your seed in it for the destruction. That all of the little babies that have been pulled out with the forceps out of the womb of mostly the Aryan mothers, these prestigious women that are encouraged not to have any children, and yet the growth rate in children is at an all-time high. But it's not the ones that you would think that it used to be. It's changed dramatically under your nose, right before your eyes, and you can't say nothing about it. If you do, you're branded a racist. You shouldn't talk like that. You see, ladies and gentlemen, that's why that there's no rapture. Why would he want to rapture out when there's such a glorious day waiting for the saints who are going to ride with him? Who are going to inherit the earth with him? They're not going nowhere. Yahweh's coming here for us. You're not going there with him. He's coming here to you. And you're going to forever be with him. There's going to be a war. He's coming back in flame and fire. He's going to kill. Bring them here. And slay them. I just couldn't see sweet Jesus doing nothing like that. I just don't believe you. Right, brother. Buddy, I believe these preachers here that I'm listening to in the church, I believe that they're men of God. God wouldn't dare kill little children. He loves everybody. Glory to God. Shundai. I feel the Holy Ghost now. You just go right ahead and you shake and you shimmy and you cast the truth to the ground. You roll in the floors. You send in your tithes and offerings to all these crooks and people that have robbed you. And you deny the poor, the righteous ministers and the prophets and the witnesses and their attempt to get the truth out. You go right ahead. Because the Bible said there will be a famine in the last day, not for bread or water, but before hearing the Word of God. Now, I want to, tomorrow night, try to get into Scofield. and show you how he set the framework for these false prophets. Darby, Whidbey, they push this philosophy of post-millennium in England. Now, the interpretation, it maintains that present gospel agencies will root out evils until Christ will have a spiritual reign, over the premise that they are virtually obligated to lobby governments in the direction of godliness. Can you believe that? That they really believe that they're going to change the government and they're going to join the New World Order or the United Nations to get it accomplished. These are the same people that's already in the back pocket of the New United Nations and the World Council of Churches and the 501(c)(3)s. And it goes on and on and on. And there's a people behind that that own all of the silver and gold that their daddy has given to them. I'm talking about Satan, who has the riches of this earth and promised it and offered it to the Messiah. He rejected it, but these snakes will take it. And they'll use it against the righteous. But those that know Yahweh, those that will hold on, those that will press toward the mark, those that will stand the test, those that will not bow down to a rapture doctrine. And here it is, the 4th of July, and the firecrackers are going off, and people are celebrating, and they don't even know that one day the big firecracker is going to go off. And it's going to start a fire. And if you're not fireproof, if you don't have something blow the collarbone like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you're not going to be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, if you're not going to be re-invented instantaneously, where that you will chase a thousand, where you will meet the enemy head on and you will fight him toe to toe and tooth to tooth and cheek to cheek, and you will overcome. Praise Yahweh. What a glorious day. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost. You say, oh, Pastor Patty, I just don't like your doctrine. It's, yeah, you say that sweet Jesus is going to come back and kill little children and these bad seeds that's running around on the earth. Well, David, who was a man after Yahweh's own heart, he said, dash their heads against the stones. I cannot wait for a cleansing. I cannot wait for the wicked. And it's going to be the righteous that remain here to help and assist with all the holy angels and Yahweh himself, who said, bring them here before me and slay them. Who do you think is going to be doing the slaying? Not the faint-hearted. Not the little rapture bunch, because they're going to be hid behind the devil's apron. Right where they are right now. They're not going to change positions. They're not going to come out of the beast system. Oh, yeah, they want to get caught up and run because there's trouble coming. Bless God, I never seen a good fight I wanted to run from. The only thing I want to do is get right in the middle of it with both feet and watch the hair and the guts and everything else fly. You say, oh my God, what kind of a bloodthirsty preacher are you, Pastor Buddy? I hate every false way. That's what I hate. I can't stand these evil. Every day my heart moans inside my body for redemption. How long, Yahweh, will it be before you redeem us and break us away from the spell of this satanic force that has deceived the whole earth? And he says, wait just a little longer, buddy. Wait a little longer till they kill you along with the other prophets. Don't worry. You'll get to come with me. You ain't gonna miss no fun. You ain't to miss the fun type. You want to be right in the middle of it, and I'm going to give you a place right by me, and you're going to bring them right before me and slay them right before me, and you're going to tell me how much you enjoy it. You say, who are you talking about, Pastor Buddy? Would you kill somebody? The Bible says woe to the shepherd that fails to bring blood. Let me give you an example. There was a king, an old Samuel, the little boy that slept by Eli the prophet, and grew up to be a great man of Yahweh. When old Saul refused to kill his counter, old Agag, what an appropriate name, he almost made Samuel gag at the thought of old Saul letting him live. And he took a sword and he cut his head off. This is a man of God. Cut his head off.
He said, well, I sure wouldn't want to get in your group. I bet you you go around cussing going on all the time.
Yeah. I bet I do. I go around dreaming, fantasizing, until it's going to become a reality that when he comes, I don't want to go nowhere. I refuse to be raptured out. I want to be right here in the battle when it comes. And I want to sling the sword till everything on earth lays dead that is not fit for the kingdom.
You say, oh my heavens, there's going to be people all over the earth. It's going to be a paradise. The Jehovah Witness come and visited me, and they showed me this picture. Oh, we were all one little big happy family. We was using atomic power and peaceful stuff. There was no more wars. And we all got along, the blacks and the whites, and we all worshiped together. You just go ahead and keep dreaming. Keep listening to them silly women as they tote their satchels around selling their little fairy tales. It's for me and my house. I'll stay with Yahweh and wait for the rapture of the wicked. Praise Yahweh. You can call me tonight. Area code 423-626-2172. Sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary and Brother Paul. Call me. Area code 423-626-2172. That's Pastor Buddy. Write me. Post Office Box 2284. New Tazewell, Tennessee. I love you, and I'll see you tomorrow night, part two of the rapture. We just might tell you how it's going to come in. Praise God.